Welcome to the Tech Data World podcast, the independent voice in aerospace, defense, and space technical information, covering all the news, reviews, gossip, opinion, software, standards, and specifications in the information production and deployment field.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of the TDW podcast. Episode 5 already. We are churning through these. Now, I am recording this for YouTube, so you can see me sat here in my slacks, or if you are listening to us on our podcast channel, hello and welcome. So what are we going to talk about this week? Well, this week it's all about the ROI in technical publications. Now, the reason I want to talk about the ROI in technical publications is one of the main things that I do is I help organizations identify where technical publications or support information can add real direct ROI to their organizations. But also, when I was in the US a couple of years ago, I attended a conference where the technical publication managers I sat with, at the time the market was in a little bit of a downturn and organizations were being squeezed and, you know, travel budgets had been slashed and organizations were looking at where they could shed some fat, if you like, and tech pubs was being squeezed and technical publication managers were really, really struggling to show their value of what they did and what they do to their organization. Now, which is kind of ironic because we are technical communicators. You would expect that we can communicate that kind of information to our organization. Now, that is not always the case. And it wasn't the case because I actually thought about this and spent some time analyzing this. And the problem is being able to explain to your organization in speak that they understand where the value from support information actually comes from. Now, because the perception is that technical documentation is one of those things and support information is one of those things that we just have to do. We have to make sure we do it. We tick the box and we kind of move on. And it's seen as a bottom line cost, very much like paying the electricity bill or paying the rent or, you know, but they have distinct consequences if we don't pay those bills or we don't produce our technical information. And I'm going to talk about the types of ROI very, very shortly. Now, what do we mean by ROI? Now, ROI is return on investment. Now, most managers and you know, senior leadership teams and all of those people, this is language they understand. They understand that if we spend this much, we expect to get this much back. If we invest or buy this company, we think that in 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, we're going to make this much back. That's kind of normal speak that everybody understands. But it's much harder when it comes to technical information. So I'm going to talk about two types of ROI and maybe give a couple of examples around that on this podcast. Now, we have direct ROI and we have indirect ROI. So we have direct return of investment and we have indirect return on investment. So let's talk about direct because it's the one that I just talked about, that if we spend this, we expect to see that back. So for each dollar, and I'm going to use dollars, and those of you that are based in Europe and you know, the UK and wherever, we're using the dollar because everybody uses the dollar. So for each dollar we spend, we hope to see dollar plus. So we expect to see, you know, whether it's $1.10 or whether it's $2, $3, $5, whatever it is, we would hope that if we invest a dollar, we spend a dollar, we expect to see something back. Now let's put that into a real example. So let's take a CMM, a component maintenance manual, and let's just say that it costs us $10 to produce. Now, I know it costs way more than that, but just let's just work through this example. Let's just say that it costs us $10 to create a CMM. On direct revenue terms, we would hope that we could use that CMM to generate $15, $20, $30, $50 of direct ROI, direct revenue. Now, that may happen because let's say we have a supply chain that includes MROs, airlines, and other third parties that might want to have access to our information. And we might want to sell that information to them. We might tier our information. You might get this much free, but if you want to do all of this over here, this is the bells and whistles, you can pay for that. This is ROI that is easy for us to measure. We can measure that ROI. Our bean counters can see $10 equals $20 equals $50 equals whatever it might be. You can see that ROI very, very clearly, and the value is added so very quickly to the top line of the business. And technical publications is not just a bottom line cost, it's actually generating that revenue for the wider business. So there's value, there's ROI in that. Where it becomes slightly more difficult for these guys that I spoke to in the US, all those probably Clearwater about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe, we talked about indirect ROI. This is the ROI that you need to be able to communicate to your organization about where technical support information, technical publications can actually really benefit and drive indirect ROI. So what do we mean by indirect ROI? That means we produce our technical publications over here. We accept it costs us $10 to make, and we also accept that it's going to be zero contribution to revenue. So it's actually a cost. This is where it becomes that bottom line, and that perception of technical information costs the business money in the same way paying rent and paying electricity bills does the same thing. But if we can demonstrate that our technical publications that cost us $10 to make over here has driven revenue in other areas, be it training, reducing customer support times, sales of spare parts, or additional support required for customers, that is indirect revenue. We accept that the technical publication or the support information has cost us this much to make, $10, and we're not going to see any direct return on that. But what we could do is we can drive indirect revenue to our training services, to our MRO services, to our spare parts services, and that is tremendous, tremendous value. The problem is this ROI is not always clear. This ROI is hard for us to actually demonstrate that it's happening. This is why I'm now going to talk about why you have to capture metrics around what it is you're doing. So in terms of direct ROI, very, very easy. We spend $10 and we see orders coming in for $20, and that $20 might come in from 500 different organizations, and our $10 has been well spent and we have seen that money back. But the indirect ROI is not always the obvious route for us to be able to demonstrate that we're actually adding value to the wider organization. So you have to measure the number of requests that are coming into your organization. You have to measure the quality of your content from an end user's perspective, not necessarily from the, you know, first stage, second stage QA processes that we're all familiar with in technical information. But, you know, are we actually making your engineers more, are they able to produce their tasks? Are they able to be more efficient in the way that they work with the information and what they're doing in terms of a maintenance practice? I talk about in some conferences that I've presented at, where I talk about the role of technical information. I talk about, it's like the oil in the engine. It's there. It's just making sure that all of the components are working together, but they're not causing each other any issues. It's like the oil in the engine. It makes sure the engine is running smoothly. But, you know, we can put a better grade in. If we put a better grade in, does that give us better fuel performance, i.e. maintainer hours? Can we drive that maintainer cost down? A task that is maybe takes 4 hours can be driven down to 3.5 hours because the information is there in a easy to access, usable way. Over the lifetime of a platform, that can deliver tremendous amounts of maintainer hour reductions and savings. So, but you should be capturing how many times a manual is accessed. How many times is it requested? If a manual is being requested, that could imply that there's a need for training. It could imply that there's a need for spare parts. It could imply that at least there's an opportunity for our sales guys to call up their account and see how they're getting on with the information. This way that you can then start measuring that indirect ROI, and you can see where the customer is having a problem. And if it's around technical information, we can improve that technical information, but we might be able to sell them something secondary, which is that indirect ROI that I talked about. So next week, we're going to talk a little bit on the next week, next podcast, we're going to talk about the ways and methods of capturing metrics within technical information. And there are ways that we can do that in process. There are ways that we can do that technologically. And we will look at some of those in the next podcast. But I'd be interested to hear how you are demonstrating ROI in your technical publications. Are you doing it? Is it something you believe you should be doing and you don't know how to do it? Hit me up on social media, send me your comments, email me your comments, michael@techdataworld.com. I'm always happy to listen and see how you guys are doing it so we can benefit the wider community. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that particular podcast. That was episode number 5. We are churning through these podcasts. Thank you very much for everybody that's sending in your comments and your suggestions on upcoming podcasts and how we can expand on certain subjects and those kind of things. Very, very appreciative. Let me know if this is the kind of stuff that you want to hear. Is this the kind of stuff that you want to share with your colleagues, your managers, and all of those things? Anyway, Michael Ingledew, do hook up with me on LinkedIn and be more than happy to discuss your requirements with you. But I thought that would make a great introduction to our next podcast, which will be how do we capture metrics in our technical information?
Thank you for listening to the TDW podcast. Remember, you can keep your tech data skills current and relevant with a full TDIQ subscription. Visit www.techdataworld.com for more details. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for your next Tech Data World update. Until next time.